How was your week? What were the news stories and the conversations? Acumen Media breaks it down for us.
Tanya Currie, a very, very good morning to you.
I had to do the statistics in the dark this morning, Howard. It's not acceptable.
No.
I had a light on. I've got a light on my lap. I'm sitting on my bed and I'm shining the light on my computer screen.
No, it's absurd. And you know, but can I tell you the funniest thing is we were meant to have load shedding yesterday between, I think, 4 p.m. and 8:30 p.m. And we didn't. For some reason, it missed us. And then somebody sent me a Madam and Eve cartoon about load shedding anxiety and about not having load shedding. And then my wife walked into the room and said, I'm feeling very anxious. Because we haven't had load shedding yet. What does that mean? Are they going to miss us? Are they going to come back? And how do I plan? And I just burst out laughing. And I thought, even not having load shedding gives us anxiety when we're meant to have it.
Gives us anxiety.
Yeah.
There we go. Look, it's been a dreadful week for us in the rural places. I mean, we've had up to 16 hours of blackouts. How do you cope? You don't.
And how
we
do
have
work?
Generators, thank
yeah.
goodness.
Yeah.
But the generators only last for 12 hours, Howard. Nobody expects 16 hours.
I mean,
really. So, I mean, if it wasn't for the generators, I wouldn't have a job here. And the second thing is after 4 or 5 hours, Vodacom goes off.
Yes, of course.
Their batteries also go off. So then you've got no network and you might as well go to the beach, which I don't mind. It would be nice if I could make some money to go to the beach.
Right, exactly. Terrible. Absolutely terrible.
But that is not the big story, my friend. Yeah. Julius Malema.
Yeah.
So I can't, but I have to.
Yeah, I also can't stand it. I actually can't because we land up not, what? 1 million?
1 million engagements in 7 days.
That's wow. Unbelievable.
250,000 posts. But a quarter of a million posts in 1 week with 1 million people responding.
Sure.
Crazy.
And it makes me so angry because every person that is responding about that is not responding about something else that is actually worth talking about. I don't even know what we talk about with Julius Malema. If we think, take a step back and look at, are we engaging in anything intelligent? Are we furthering the goals of our country? Are we improving lives? Are we going forward? No, we're just talking rubbish.
No.
We're just doing emotional
just
anger.
Going backwards.
Yeah.
And just going backwards. I mean, okay, so we started with de Klerk. I mean, last week we knew that was coming out of the woodwork and we expected, I mean, I certainly expected it to be all over the press this week. But it completely drowned out anything else that was said at Sonar initially, you know, and the de Klerk story, I must admit, even me, Julius woke me up. And so we prompted a study. What happened over this week was Julius Malema took over the media. Mm. He told Parliament that he had them by the S word and that he owns this Parliament and they all listen to him. And actually, if you look at the media, he is quite right.
Mm-hmm.
If you put the two together, how's this for a fascinating statistic? What we spoke about on Sona and what we spoke about during the same period on Julius Malema, 46% belongs to Julius and 54% belongs to Sona.
Wow. One man.
Now that's
versus
ridiculous.
Sona. Of course
one
it's ridiculous.
Man.
Yeah. Yeah.
He created the news. And you can see it. We put timelines up on my Twitter handle so the listeners can go and have a look. But you can actually see when Julius Malema speaks, the spike shoots up and then Sona sort of follows afterwards, you know? However, everything he says, a large portion of what he says sits in the negative territory when you look at him as a brand. There's 43% negative out of those million. Okay, so 43% don't agree with him. They may not agree with him, but it doesn't matter because is there such a thing as bad publicity when it comes to our South African politics? I don't think there is.
Unbelievable.
You know, we started with that. So we started with the de Klerk story and it didn't stop there. Then the ANC stood up and threw a punch at and said that Malema is beating his wife. And to which Malema stood up and said, I'm not going to answer the question now, leaving the ANC really rattled. He finished his speech and then he answered the question saying, absolutely not. And in fact, we have it on good authority that the president beat his ex-wife. And just like that, in 30 seconds, gender-based violence was reduced to a playing card.
This
it was just a playing card.
Appalling.
It was chucked around Parliament.
And what makes me so angry about this is that Parliament, that our government has done sweet blow all to deal with the issue of gender-based violence in South Africa. And when they do deal with it, it is used as a political punching bag in order to denigrate another party. It is an absolute disgrace.
And the women that were
that bothered me as well. I shouldn't say it, but what were the women laughing at? What is funny? I would have expected more from a woman sitting in Parliament saying, "Hold on a minute, this is not something to throw around like a political lobby, like a political missile."
Oh, that was shocking. That was absolutely shocking.
No, Zanati, I felt sick. I felt sick. I was like, dude, like, really? Is it like that? And the president's wife is dead. Like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah.
And then the apology.
You know, it's like appalling. Just appalling behavior. And then they both apologized. Okay. I mean, Ramaphosa apologized for the ANC's behavior unequivocally. Unequivocally. I can never say that word. And then, he also, didn't pull any punches about de Klerk. I mean, he said that anyone who says it's a crime, not a crime against humanity, that's a treasonous statement. So further investigation now into de Klerk. So that was that. And then Julia stood up and said, I want to apologize, but.
Yeah, it was not much of an apology. Not much of an apology at all.
And he then released a statement that was not an apology. No. I don't think it was an apology. Anyway, I mean, you had to really look for the apology amongst the words.
Lindiwe was saying exactly that this morning. That just was not an apology. Come on.
No. But the sad thing is, Howard, as if to prove his point about holding Parliament hostage, is the media just followed his lead. Why don't we silence this oak?
Well, you know, it's actually very
giving so much airtime, so much, like a million guys.
Well, this is what I don't understand, and we keep doing this because, in fact, what are you and I talking about? Is we are talking about this, but I mean, it is our job to do so. But what I don't understand is just the appalling way that he treats even Free Press. His followers treat anybody. You know, I wrote an article this week on News 24 because I wanted to discuss with our listeners. The question that I raised for our listeners was, should the EFF have been allowed to be in Parliament to debate SONA when they walked out of SONA, even though they were kicked out? But I mean, it was a deliberate act. Right. So that was the question I raised for my listeners. And you cannot believe the abuse that I got on social media saying, stay in your lane, butt out of things that don't concern you. This is, if you're not an EFF voter, you don't get a say. And that's the, which of course doesn't bother me in the slightest, because certainly no one's ever going to, exactly. And no one's ever going to tell me to stay in my lane. I mean, that's honestly the worst thing you could do.
Really?
I don't even know what a lane is, but never mind that, especially because we're all swimming in the same swimming pool. So there is no such thing, but the point
is a lane.
Exactly. So the point is this, is that is the attitude that is pervasive throughout, is you scream and shout and you don't let anyone else in Parliament talk, and then when they're ready to talk, you leave. And
listen, I want to say something that is very important for the next SONA, and I'm going to get it sponsored, is Amos Masondo needs a gavel. He needs to be able
absolutely,
to hit that desk with that gavel and make people pay attention. He's so calm. I don't know how he was so calm, because I would have lost it with him. If you looked at the translators, I know you and I love the translators, but if you looked at the translators, the point of order sign, I know the point of order sign now so well.
In fact, somebody even, I think they put it to music, that whole point of order thing.
There are other stories though, Howard. You'd have to look for them, but there are. One of my favorites is Duda Mueni is in court finally. Go Alta.
Alta,
are charging her with delinquency. So she's, has to explain her behavior at SAA. And she turned up in an outfit that was probably worth more than most people earn in a year. This is the woman, remember, who couldn't fly to Cape Town because she was so broke. Do you remember? From Cape Town because she was so broke. So she turns up. She denies the whole thing. It wasn't, she wasn't in charge, apparently. And then next door to her, Zonda Commission, we hear that, they were funneling funds, her and Zuma through the foundation, and that, Mr. X is so scared for his life, he won't even be named on the stand because of Didumyeni. So we don't believe a word of what you're saying, Didu. Just, like it's time you went to jail. Mm-hmm. And then Helen Zilla, what is that all about? Someone balanced
me. She went to Twitter. Yes, so it took a very long time because it was like, no, I got quite excited because she says, she sent a tweet out saying that she's leaving Twitter and
I was so excited when I saw that.
Yeah, and then another tweet and then a third tweet and a fourth tweet. It was basically the South African Brexit because she never left. Eventually she did leave. I'm telling you. And then eventually she does leave, but then she just opens up a new account for which I have not been approved yet, by the way. So
no, I also haven't been approved, by the way.
So we're all waiting for approval on that one. Apparently the approval process is quite slow.
I think you'll probably get in before me, Howard. I've got to be honest.
I don't know. Well, I'm going to check that. In fact, I'm checking right now. What's it? Zilla Speaks. What is it?
Zilla Tweets. But have you seen the profile picture?
No.
It's like Liva Hexie on steroids.
Oh, no, come on.
No, really? Go and have a look. You have to go and have a look, guys. I'm going to tweet it now. You have never seen such a scary picture. You know that?
Don't tweet it because then she's never going to approve you. You will never get approval. Never.
You remember that Momo thing? Yeah. She looks like that.
Oh, no, that's terrible. That is terrible.
No, you should go and have a look. You will be absolutely horrified. She looks like Liva Hexie, but like Liva Hexie had really bad acne. Really bad. Really, really bad. So one sentence for Helen Zilla. Social media doesn't talk to you, Helen. They talk about you. So doesn't matter if you're off or on, we're still going to talk. 100%. And then of course the UKZN protests, I know I'm pushing my time limit. UKZN protests got lost in the media noise this week. Yeah. Any other week that would have been a very, very big story. And then, these stories about our children. Yeah. Enoch Mpayanzi. Forensic report is apparently damning. They stopped it. It was meant to come out yesterday. They said that basically, that was a very bad report. And then, they stopped it, because after they'd spoken to the parents. So.
Yeah, just remembering that you had an earlier slot, kids in the car. So,
And then of course, Tasnee van Wyk. I've got to mention her. 100%. She was awesome. Really. And then finally, our communications minister.
Yes, I was hoping you were going to say
Geneva. She's been to Geneva.
I love that. That to me was the story of the week. That was the story of the week. I was hoping you were going to say Geneva somewhere in the.
Oh, I loved the Geneva story. And then of course, the Laureus Sports Awards was given to the Springboks, so that's quite nice. And then Tito Mboweni's budget is bubbling, so we're going to prepare ourselves for that next week. I don't know if we can. And then 9 people were shot in Germany, and he was brown, he wasn't brown, so we don't call him a terrorist. And that's my lot.
Why don't they call him a terrorist? What is with that?
No, they don't. They don't.
Because BBC
and his mom. I mean, come on.
I have looked in every article, and the word terrorist doesn't exist. So they use the word racist. I'm okay with that.
Yes,
that
he's a racist. Extreme right wing.
Yes, but they will not use the word terrorist. Right. Why?
No, because he's white, my friend.
Absolute.
Are you still singing that song? Are you still not sure?
But I don't believe it because it's so ridiculous.
I know.
Yeah, we can call him an extremist. That we're allowed to do. He's a far right. Yes, he's a far right. He's not a terrorist.
Not a terrorist.
I promise you, I have looked. I went through BBC Sky. I went through everything. No. You cannot find we will not name him a terrorist.
A terrorist.
I don't understand.
But let him have been brown.
Yeah, no question. It's really.
And the other thing is it was a Chisha bars, which are Arab bars.
Yes, of course. Of course.
Yes.
It was very deliberate.
If you're going to use that word, like this is the right time to use it.
Yeah. 100%. Anyway, really, really terrible. Time is 7:26. Sonia Kuri, I'm glad we made it through load shedding without
your
batteries dying. Hang in there. Have a great weekend. It is 7:26. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem 101.9 Chai FM.